Hey, guess what? It's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk number 79. More tech talks than there are weeks in a year.
Hey, we did it.
Yeah, and we're going to keep doing it. If you've got a question for us about your home VoiceOver studio tech or something related to that, put it in the chat room, and we will answer that question during the show. In the meantime, we got lots of stuff. You got lots of cool stuff in your tech update?
Yeah, I'm going to have a little show and tell, actually, right here in my office.
All right, and we're going to talk a little bit about troubleshooting and your questions coming up right now on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
From the outer reaches, they came. Bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master. A professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
I'm glad you remembered that. And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO.
B.S.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Teching the Tech Talk. Okay. Anyway, we're here to help you with your home voiceover studio. That's our job. I mean, I'm a voice actor, but it's also my job to make sure your home voiceover studio is working, as it is George's job.
We want you to not suck at sounding. We can't control how you act. We just don't want you to suck at sounding good.
Right.
We want you to be great at sounding good.
Right. If you suck, you're going to sound great sucking. It's as simple as that. You know, that's not under our control.
Believe me, I've heard plenty of those too along the way.
But you know, we had a guest last week, Elise Bergreen. She was like, yeah, there's a lot of untalented people that are doing fine because they're very good at managing their careers. But the thing is. It's not easy to learn how to record if you've never done it before, or if you've a little bit here and there, but voiceover recording is very, very specific. There are very specific standards that we've set that the producers expect, and sometimes they expect more than they actually understand themselves, but we understand that stuff. And George and I have committed our lives to making sure that all you got to do is hit record and do what you do, which is perform as a voice actor. And it's not as hard as you think, but it helps to have somebody who actually knows specifically how to do it and can teach you how to do it properly.
Yeah, we're here to give you a huge shortcut.
Yeah, it's like, here's 35 years of experience right in front of your face right now. And we can, ask a question. We know the answer. And we may have different answers, but the two answers combined together are going to be the right answer.
Exactly.
One way or another.
Whatever that is. Even if they're the polar opposite.
Exactly.
We'll find, no, that almost never happens.
Right. Yeah, we usually agree on everything.
Yeah.
But if you want to work with George, who is very good at what he does and has a staff. I got a dog. But we have a staff. He has a staff. I'm actually on his staff. If you want to work with George, where do you go?
You can go over to georgethe.tech. And yeah, we are trying to build building a staff. We've got a few folks who are available to be booked through the website directly. And we also have our Tech 911 support line, which is, you know, with all the web stuff and the high tech stuff we have, that's probably the thing I'm the most proud of is how do you set up a hotline phone system with virtual, you know, actual humans that answer the phone and get your information and get a tech on the phone. Well, we've gotten it figured out. So if you want to reach us through that tech support line, you just dial 424-226-8528, press number 9 on the menu, and that will tech you to our... It's not free, folks. This is for people who have a real tech emergency and you're worried that this is going to help, this is going to keep you from making that next job happen. That's part of your career. That's what it's there for. And we've got, Sundays, Robert Marshall took a call the other day. It was a challenging one. It took an hour and a half to get through a really difficult tech hurdle. But that's the kind of people we've got working with us. So that's all at georgethe.tech. But Dan's doing a lot of the same thing.
Yeah, I've talked a few people off the ledge over at homevoiceoverstudio.com. And over there you'll find, supposedly the new website went live while I was in France. So I've yet to check on it, but supposedly, I'm like, fire in a hold. We'll see what happens.
Let's take a look.
Oh, okay. While you're looking, go over to my website, homevoiceoverstudio.com, and see what I have to say about setting up your home voiceover studio. I will do a consultation with you. I can teach you from zero to hero very, very quickly. You will know exactly what's going on after like an hour and a half, and you're going to go, that's it. But you have to know, and I know how to teach it, and I can get you there very, very quickly. And I also will analyze your audio. If you've got yourself set up and you want to make sure that it sounds the way it's supposed to sound or what it's supposed to sound like, whistle. For $25, I will do a thorough analysis of your audio. And usually it takes about 5 seconds to figure out whether it's great. Or, you could fix this, you could fix that. Yep. And if you need a fuller consultation, we can talk about that. So go over to homevoiceoverstudio.com and check it out. Anyway, is the new site up yet?
Is it blue and white?
Well, it's always been blue and white. is the specimen collection cup on the top part of the page yet?
I don't think it is live yet. I think this is the prior site.
Got to make a phone call when we're
done
with
this. It's still perfectly fully functioning. It's all there. Everything.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, all right. The specimen collection cup.
It's a very
bottom of the
navigate website. Much better than my current site. I got to tell you that.
Good. Your thing is a museum.
We have a new one coming. Believe me.
Excellent. All righty. Well, with that out of the way, because by the way, that's why we're here, to let you know that we do this kind of stuff. It's time for George's tech update and. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this because, I went when I was in France a couple weeks ago, went into a lot of museums like the Louvre and several other museums, but you get your own museum code now, don't you? Oh, my God.
I do. Let's head over to the museum.
Okay. Is there like an audio guide that we have to use or...
So I talked about Source Connect I do it every show, right? Source Connect is the tool. That's not the camera. That's a light. The camera's over here. I didn't rehearse this at all. Source Connect has been the way now, and other technologies, of course, that many of you have used are the way we're connecting to the studios around the world. But before there was Source Connect, and before there was actually, believe it or not, even the internet, it was ISDN, and it required actual equipment. And I have accumulated a pile of equipment, a veritable pile. And they're not stacked in any order, more so the order that I received them in, but I'll just go through them real quick. And it's amazing. I have most of all of the most commonly used ISDN codec. If you ever hear people talking about ISDN, I have most of the ones that have ever really been used in the voiceover industry
now basically sitting here on my shelf. Starting at the very bottom, this is the one that kind of really started it all. I would say if Byron Wagner's watching, you're probably going to tell me, no, it was something else. Sorry, Byron. But this is the one that I know the best from when I did radio broadcasts for Eagles football, and it's been in a lot of studios. This is a Telos Zephyr 9202. And this is, I believe this one came out of a rack from Joe Cipriano's studio. Maybe I should have put their names on it. Well, anyway, that's what I believe this, where this one came from. And sitting right above it is a CD player. That's not an ISDN codec, but that also came out of Joe's studio. Above that is a Telos Zephyr Extreme. So this was the next evolution or generation from this one down here. This was the next one that came along from them. Had a lot of upgrades, but at the end of the day, it did pretty much exactly the same as this one. And years after this one came out, people were still using the old 9202 Zephyr. This one had an added benefit of being fanless. So this one did not make any noise. This one did have a fan, which we routinely would cut the wire on and hope for the best. That happened a lot. On top of the Zephyr Extreme is another Extreme. This is an MXP model, meaning it has a built-in mixer. So you can have multiple talent, up to 4 mics and 4 headphones all plugged into this at the same time. Another unit that has capabilities like that, actually there's several more here that are all considered portable units. We have the Zephyr Express. Now this one here is near and dear to my heart because I actually used to carry one of these around in a rollerboard and a, what do you call it? A carry-on suitcase when I was doing broadcasts for the Eagles radio. And this was our backup. So if the systems that we shipped with us and took us on the road all went, we could plug Merrill Reese and Mike Quick's headset mics into this and get on the air. So I carried this around from show to show. This is not physically the same unit. This one came from Nick Tate in Australia. Believe it or not, he actually had it with him and gave it to me one time. On top of that is, this one's a real oddball. This is an AEQ ISDN codec, also meant for portable field use. It has multiple headphone and microphone faders that it has capable. I don't know if I've ever seen one of these in the real world being used ever. This I just found in David Kay's closet, and I was like, hey, you want that thing anymore? He's like, I don't even know if I have the power supply for it. I was like, all right, I'll take it. So that's the AEQ. And the last ISDN codec in the collection, in the most recent edition, is the good old Musicam Road. This is a Road Runner. This was like another one of those ultra portable. It has a handle on it even. ISDN codecs with preamps, headphone jacks. Everything. The user interface was a nightmare. The menu system made no sense. It was so confusing to use compared to the Zephyr Extreme. But at the end of the day, it did the job too. This one just got retired from Debbie Mae West's studio. I literally picked it up last week before she moved to Hawaii. So that's the ISDN Codec Museum. One day I'll go through the other stuff up here, but I don't want to waste any more time. So while I'm standing here, I also have a pile of acoustical panels. I want to just go through these real quick. These are all samples from ATS Acoustics. Now, they all have unique properties. They may look somewhat the same. Like if you look at these from the front, they both look pretty similar, but their similarities change a lot when you look at the rear. This one actually is made out of fiberglass, a compressed OC703 material. So this actually is a very different substrate than what's inside this panel. But this is kind of like what's used in more like pro studios because they like this incredibly refined fit and finish. It has no wooden frame. It's just a very different way of making a panel. This is rarely, if ever, what I would use in a home studio. This kind, which is full of rock wool, is probably more like what you might like to use. And the unique thing about this one is it's also a tack board. So it has a special layer that allows it to be a tack board. You can tack documents to it. So I don't think I would use the whole studio with these, but you can put one of these nearest to where you're working and have an acoustical panel that will also act as a cork board, essentially. Now, these two panels, to me, are a little bit controversial. This is one that's wrapped in micro suede. I can write my name on it. The problem with micro suede is it's more reflective at higher frequencies. It actually will brighten up a room if you use these panels. Now, the inside is the same as what the other panels use, the rock wool, but the outside, while it looks really nice, is more bright and reflective. So it'll make your room just sound a little more sparkly and echoey. Could be good, often not good for voiceover. And lastly, as I drop it on the floor, this is an art panel. Now, this one's wrapped in a canvas-like material that they print digital images on, and it looks amazing. But this material is highly reflective. I don't know if you can pick it up on the mic. I'm now talking at the panel and pointing at the mic, and you can still hear me really clearly versus if I do this one, it sucks my voice away, right? You don't want to use anything that's reflective. You got to be very careful about choosing panels and use the material that does not reflect sound. So there's my little attempt at a on-site tour of the studio, and I'll get back to my regular location.
Wow, that was almost exciting as the Louvre.
Was that somewhat entertaining?
No, that was, you know, for those of us that are into that sort of thing, that was actually pretty cool. Okay, but cool. I've been noticing that collection accumulate over the last year or so, and it's like
I figured if we're really coming back to the studio in person again, which we were really hoping to be doing, I won't be here that much anymore on the show, so this was my opportunity to have a little fun.
Great.
After having done all that, I wanted to talk about two new products that have come across my desk and now are actually getting some actual use out of. One is the Austrian Audio OC818 microphone, and that's this microphone right here. You may have heard of us talk about it over on the Pro Audio Suite podcast. Austrian Audio, in full disclosure, is a sponsor of the podcast. And that's why I have one of these beautiful, pretty expensive microphones. These are running on, I think, around $1,200 microphones. So what's special about this? What's another large diaphragm condenser mic have that everything else doesn't have? Well, it's got a few interesting features. One of them is it's really the spiritual successor to the AKG C414, an amazingly flexible mic. It's been used in a lot of voiceover, not so much voiceover as some other studio type uses, but still versatile. But the company that made that, AKG, got absorbed by Harman International, which got absorbed by another bigger predator, Samsung. And basically, the microphone division kind of dissolved. There's no more any development of microphones. So that team went off and were permitted to, essentially, as I understand it, purchase the intellectual property of AKG and start making microphones again. It rose from the ashes and became Austrian Audio. So this is called the OC818, obviously, a play on the 414 name.
Sounds great.
It sounds great. It's got the multiple patterns that lets you experiment with how the microphone hears your voice. If I put it on figure eight, it's going to have a very easy time of picking up sound from both sides, especially figure eight. If I snap behind the
mic, I was going to say, it sounds like it's 100 yards away.
Exactly. Right? So I like the default hypercardioid. I think like that's the best way of focusing on my voice in this big open space. It's got way more bells and whistles than that. If you go on YouTube, type in the name of this mic, George the Tech, and you'll see a long video for you geeks, where myself and Andrew Peters in Australia review this mic in full, showing how there's even software that go with this microphone. It's pretty intense. But anyway, if you're looking for a really versatile mic, it's something interesting to try. If you thought about buying a Neumann TLM-103, this would be something you might want to compare against because it's similar in price and a lot more versatile in terms of features. Lastly, another thing from Austrian Audio, I have a pair of their headphones, the High X15s. And where do these fit into the headphone map? Well, these are really their entry point headphones. They're running around $129, something like that price range. And at that price point, they feel better than they should be. They feel and sound, I think, better than you would expect for that price. They're really physically well made. They have aluminum headphone yokes on the side that feel very strong. The headphone cups is really the beauty of them. They're just ridiculously soft and comfortable, and they're very large. There's a lot of room in there for your ears. So if you've got bigger ears, you can appreciate
how deep and spacious these ear cups are. Sound-wise, they're not like anything I've heard before, and they are definitely an acquired taste. I will tell you this. They, how do you put it? They're very forward in the mid-range, so they really bring out detail and openness. And at the opposite end, on the low end, I got to be honest, I'm a bit of a bass head. My Dynamic DT770s, even the new Harlan Hogan voiceover edition headphones have a more rich, full low end that I really enjoy. Dan's got them on now. These don't have that rich, full low end that I kind of expect. You're not going to miss anything, but you're more likely to miss maybe an errant plosive. Like a plosive that in these headphones, yes. I would hear that plosive. I might not catch that plosive easily in these because it doesn't reproduce low end quite as fully. Now, I've seen other people say that it does a great job at low end. Maybe I just need to break them in for a while. I don't know. But headphones are the most personal thing in a studio because you wear them. So like anything else, you'd have to try them out for yourself and see what you think. They do have the detachable cord, which is really becoming the norm these days. Just come with one single cable with your typical little adapter. Nothing too, not a lot of frills on the accessories, but at $129, I feel like these are a really, really good value, very competitive to my favorites, the Audio-Technica M40s and the Harlan Hogan headphones. Something to compare against, I guess I should say. So anyway, that's some of the new stuff I have had coming through the studio and I'll be using over time and giving my thoughts about in my own review one of these days when I have some time. So Dan, speaking of troubleshooting, don't you just use one of these when you troubleshoot? Don't you just like flip through this and
no. Well, if I'm you, I might, but you know, you started a fascinating thread, an email thread with all of our voiceover tech brethren talking about troubleshooting, about, you know, somebody in, you know, their, you know, I guess it must have been a fairly old thought. It goes about, you know, somebody in their car, anytime they would go out to get vanilla ice cream, their car wouldn't start. Which, you know, and then we're all commenting on it. And it's like, well, vanilla ice cream has nothing to do with the fact that the guy's car won't start. But that seemed to be the variable that made, you know.
And you know what made me so excited about this story? When I read the backstory on the story, they said it was one of the first places it was shared was on
Car Talk.
Car Talk. Click and clack. Our
heroes.
Our heroes, our influencers to create the show. So,
yeah.
So Dan, what's troubleshooting to you? What is the magic secret sauce that will make everybody listening no longer have to hire either of us?
No, there's no such thing. The fact of the matter is, now I learned troubleshooting in junior high school, what you kids call middle school now. My power mechanics teacher, Mr. Soman, used to wear a bow tie, explained how to troubleshoot a lawnmower. And it's a logical process, you know, with an internal combustion engine. You need motivation, got to get it going. But you have to have fuel, air, and spark. And what are all the systems that regulate each one of those systems? And if it doesn't start, you start at one end. Do you got fuel? Do you have air mixing with the fuel? And do you have spark? And if you have that, then the engine should run. But what would prevent each one of those things from happening? Voiceover audio, I think the problem that a lot of people have and why it related to the story about vanilla ice cream in a car, and by the way, the answer was vapor lock. And if you don't know what vapor lock is,
just type in ice cream, my car won't start, vanilla ice cream. You'll find the story, I promise.
You know, it was not the fact that it was vanilla ice cream, but it was how long it took to get the vanilla ice cream that caused the
vanilla
vapor
lock. Easier to get, so you got it faster, which means the car never cooled down, which means it wouldn't fire up again. This was the old days during the times of vapor lock.
Normally aspirated carburetors. Right. But in voiceover, I think a lot of our clients don't understand specifically which each part of the systems that allow us to record digitally on a computer work. What did they do? And so, you know, like a lawnmower or any other internal combustion engine, it starts with your microphone, your XLR cable that connects your microphone to your interface. the interface itself, which takes your analog audio from your microphone and turns it into the ones and zeros that our computer can understand and sends it to the computer. And then the computer has software in it that interprets those ones and zeros and creates the graphic representation of our audio that we can see and actually hear. So when someone says it doesn't work, I can, like, can you be a little more specific? One of the things that George and I always tell people, and in some of the Facebook groups, there's always like someone's, I have a buzz, I have a hum, or there's something going on. And it's like, yeah, so we have to hear it. Because generally, if we hear it for 5 seconds to 10 seconds, it's like, oh, that's what's going on. And generally, it's not one of the prior things, mic, cable, interface, you know, computer. It's generally something in the software, something wasn't clicked, or something was clicked. And, you know, and that's what causes the problems. I have feedback. Well, your monitors aren't turning off. You know, there's a way to do that on your interface. But we'll look and see. Well, okay, if you change microphones, are you getting sound now? Well, yeah. Well, guess what? It's the microphone. Is it, you know, change the cable? Are you getting sound now? Oh, yeah. I guess it was the cable. You know, whether it's the XLR cable or the USB cable. If you know that's working, you know, then you try a different interface. You should always have a spare interface. You know, I actually have an old blue Mic Mate, which is an utter piece of crap, but it works to show that it's taking audio, it's giving him phantom power to your condenser microphone and sending it to the interface or to your computer as digital audio. And, you know, and you go through each one of those steps. And if it's, you know you're getting audio, you see the lights flashing on your interface, you know it's going to the computer, you know, might be the USB cable.
One of those really cheap interfaces that you wouldn't think would be any good at all. Blue made one. It was called the Icicle.
Just a step above the Mic Mate.
Yeah, the Mic Mate.
Yeah, no.
But the Icicle, honestly, that's the ultimate, I got an emergency interface because it's really cheap and it doesn't sound like garbage. It actually sounds okay. I've used it a few times. So yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Blue because I was like, oh yeah, the Icicle. That one's a great one to keep around when you're troubleshooting. If you want to go as directly from microphone, there's the Mic Mate. If you want to go directly from the microphone to the computer and bypass everything in between, including, yes, exactly, there's the Mic Mate. If you want to bypass everything, including the mic cable, now you're going to go mic, plug the Mic Mate or Icicle right into the back of it and go right to the computer. And now you can eliminate more things. It's all about process elimination.
Exactly.
Right?
And it's generally not the hardware. You know, I mean, yeah, hardware will fail. If people drop microphones all the time, it's like, why does it sound tinny? Well, did you ever drop it? Yeah. You know, is there a huge dent in the grill? You know, that sort of thing. And that's our process for troubleshooting. And generally it's, you know, if it's a hum or a buzz or something like that, is there a grounding issue? Is there something humming in the background, like a fluorescent light? You know, those sorts of things. But once we hear it, we generally know what it is and can solve it. You know, my contribution to the, you know, to the thread was, well, you know, nothing's more satisfying than walking in a room and it miraculously heals itself. So we're either magicians or alchemists, you know, generally technology knows I'm coming and it fears me. You know, it's like, Dad, this doesn't work. Oh, now it works. You know, troubleshooting sometimes is just a matter of faith. Anyway, we got lots of questions to answer on Tech Talk. If you've got a question, throw them in the chat room and George and I will be happy to answer those. So put them in the chat room now. Jeff Holman will get those to us and we will answer them. And we'll be right back after these very important messages. So don't go away.
Yeah. Hi, this is Carlos Alas Rocky, the voice of Rocco. And you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
Hey. Is there a perfect voiceover gift? Well, you're looking at it right now, the VoiceOver Essentials gift card. You know the challenge. The voiceover performer in your life wants or needs some gear for recording from home or on the road. Well, that part is easy. But you're not sure just what.
You want a what?
You want a what?
Solution? Send them a VoiceOver Essentials gift card, good for any of the products you see right here, and more. And right now, for a limited time only, we'll include our summertime bestseller, our VoiceOver baseball cap, free in the USA only, when you purchase a gift card worth $200 or more. Our gift card will be sent directly to your email address. You can then forward it on to the recipient's email where and when you'd like it to arrive. And they'll automatically ship their gift cap to your United States billing address for free. Go to voiceoveressentials.com and click on gift card.
Hey, that's me, and I'm supposed to be paying attention because my job right now is to tell you about how Source Connect can revolutionize your voiceover career. Okay, it's not going to get you jobs. I know that. But what it does do is give you the opportunity to take jobs that require Source Connect. And I got to tell you, ask anybody that does use Source Connect, and you can ask online, you ask in our groups, in our forums, who here has Source Connect? What kind of work do you do on Source Connect? You'll find out it's some of the best of the voiceover work that there is available. It tends to be the work that pays the most because there's a few reasons for that. One, in order to have Source Connect involved in a studio recording, you have to have the software on two sides, the talent side and the studio side. And who usually chooses what technology is going to be used? It's generally going to be the studio. They're going to choose how to connect you into their workflow. And Source Connect does that extraordinarily well for them. They love the audio comes right over the internet, drops directly into Pro Tools. If there is any audio dropout from internet connectivity issues, it will automatically replace it with a repaired packet, or you can replace it completely with the raw, uncompressed audio, and it does all this stuff magically. It's pretty incredible. But you really have to have a license on your end as talent to use it. You can't plug in without it. There's no free option. So if you want to get on board, you should go to source-elements.com, get a free trial. You really don't need to buy it or buy a license or subscribe until you know you're getting that work. At least have it at the ready. That's what you want to do next. That's your next step. Be ready, familiar, and learn how to use it, and you'll be ready to go. Let's get to the questions right after this.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's a, the files are ready, don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
And we are back here at VoiceOver Body Shop. Tech Talk. We got lots of questions tonight, and we'll start it off with one that was left over from last week.
Oh, yeah.
Which is familiar. Yeah, that's why it looks familiar. Well, not last week. It was like a month ago. I've been up and down the Rhone River and through Paris since then. From BC on YouTube, he said, my SSL2, which is a great interface, a lot of people like that one, included a Vocal Strip 2 plugin, an all-in-one compander, de-esser, deplosive, and three-band EQ. Only three? Could I use this in a stack for voiceover auditions, or does its all-in-one nature limit me? That's an awful lot to stuff in a plug-in. If it doesn't have individual controls, I'd say you just sort of keep that one to the side and, you know, don't use it.
Show and tell.
Yeah, I mean, what good is all this stuff? Number one, if you don't know how to use it or what it does.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's like, oh, it has this. Well, having it isn't the same as knowing how to use it.
Yeah. So well, I'm looking at it for the first time, which is wacko because I have an SSL2 on the shelf over here. I never bothered to play with the plugins. So it's a $200 plugin. They're throwing it in with a $250 user audio interface. So that's pretty amazing. What's going on here? We have a compander. What the hell is a compander?
A compressor and an expander. Yeah.
And an expander, right? So it's designed to compress higher dynamic audio sound, higher level sounds, and squish them down a little bit. And the expander is working at the other end so that the quieter stuff is brought down in level, right? So, and that, the tools here look like they have the basic things that you would need to properly adjust, such as ratio, threshold, expander threshold, and makeup gain. So it has a potential of being a pretty good tool and sounding good. It has a de-esser, potentially could be useful. A deploser. I'm assuming they mean a deplosiver.
Well, yeah.
They call it the deploser. Why do you need that? I don't know.
Because people don't know how to use their mic and they give out plosives.
Yeah, don't pop your mic. Right. You know, use good mic technique. You don't need that. Then lastly, equalizer, spelled with an S because it's made in England.
Yeah, what's going to say? It's clearly kind of foreign.
Yeah, it has a very, very, very basic equalizer. Probably not ultra useful for doing anything surgical, but if you just want to add a little bit more, actually,
it's a parametric equalizer.
Yeah, it's quasi parametric. You can roll off the low end. That could be useful if you have a rumbly recording space. You can, it looks like, dip the middle. So if it's kind of nasal or something in your room is ringing and it's kind of annoying, you can dip it. And then at the top side, it looks like there's a booster. So you can boost a certain frequency range. I mean, it could be pretty useful. And I guess the question was, can you use it in a stack? Yeah, I could. I haven't yet, but if you wanted me to use it, I would use it. I could probably get something pretty useful out of it. I've just always used the plugins built into the DAWs because they do everything.
Right.
How many more EQs, compressors, and et cetera do you need? Most of what you need is already in the DAW, but I would be willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to use all that stuff, you know, I'm not a big believer in plugins, you know, in the first place. You know, I mean, you set stacks for people, and those are for, like, little minor corrections or for some specific purpose of a certain genre of audio.
Special effect.
Right.
I'm doing a lot of TV affiliate. I need to sound like I'm the guy who's telling you to tune in at 11 for the, you know, the horrible news.
Film at 11.
Yeah, that's a thing that has a lot of compression. It's very aggressive. Most of it, especially commercials.
But it's a very limited thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Most of us don't have to do
90%
that.
Of what all you guys are auditioning. That's the golden goose, right? You want that commercial. That is very limited processing. In fact, I'm going more and more in the direction of no processing at all on commercials.
No wonder you're my friend. Get it right. Get the acoustics right in the room you're in. Use your microphone right. Set your levels right. Yep. And that's really all she wrote. It saves you so much time and problems and things like that.
If you right now, everybody watching that has made that I've made a stack for using for commercials is going,
what?
Am I supposed to keep using it? God, at this point, if you've been using it for 5 years and you don't know what it's doing, you better start doing some ear training.
Yeah.
You better start listening to what those plugins are doing. You better listen to it within its own. The best thing I can hear from somebody, and I've said this before, is I don't use your plugin anymore, George, or I don't use your stack anymore, George, because I don't need it, or I find it doesn't it doesn't improve, or it causes something strange.
Right.
And I don't look at that like, oh, crap, I screwed up the stack. I look at it as like, no, they're listening.
Right.
They actually are listening. They're actually hearing what's being recorded. They're making judgment calls about their sound and deciding to turn off the processing. That's great. That's good news.
Yeah, I think it's important that, you know, a lot of producers now are like, they've been asking, don't do anything to it. No processing. And, you know, which is music to my ears, you know, because they want to hear you perform. They don't care if you're a producer, if you've been, they want to hear if you can interpret copy properly.
Yeah. It's really the lower third. I don't know. It's not even fair to divide. It's really the lower half of the voiceover work that there's nobody that knows what's going on.
Exactly.
So those are really the jobs, I think, that need the most help in this area, right?
Yeah.
But the better jobs, the more, you know, the jobs that you guys really want to attain to or, you know, shoot for, those big commercials and animation and games, and all of them don't want any processing. They do all of that in-house. Those are the big gigs you want, the ones where you don't have to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Patricia Andrea. Hi, Patricia. This is something I know something about. Two-part question, which neither has anything to do with each other. What are the best places to audition for movie dubs? You know, when it comes to movie dubbing, you know, when it comes to dubbing work, and there is a lot of it.
Yeah, more than ever, right?
You know, a lot of the streaming networks are taking a lot of foreign material, and they're dubbing it. And they have systems where, you know, I can sit here in my studio in Sherman Oaks, and I'm working with somebody, you know, with a director in Mumbai. Now, granted, I gotta get up at 5:30 in the morning, and it's 8:30 at night in Mumbai, and be directed doing dub work for a lot of different things. But how do you get that work? A couple of ways. One way is networking. Talk to other people that do dubbing work, and if they think that you're capable of doing it, they will say, "Well, look, I work with this company. Give them a buzz," or somebody will refer you to that company. And, you know, how do you do a dubbing reel? You don't. It's if you're a good voice actor, because dubbing is not necessarily being, you know, like doing commercials. It's voice acting. It's watching the character and seeing how he delivers the line or she delivers the line and being able to not imitate their voice in a different language, but to get the intonation that they have and do it in your own voice as an actor with the same emotion, you know, because sometimes it's like, wake up, dear, it's time to get up, you know, that sort of thing. And that's really what it is. It's really acting in the movie, only you're not in the movie, it's just your voice. But they're very good at taking your voice and making it sound like it's part of the, you know, the actual original soundtrack of the movie or the TV show or whatever. And, you know, so that's why dubbing sounds a lot better than it used to. So anyway,
it is much better nowadays. It really is.
Yeah. And then she also asks, at what point do you decide to get a logo and register your entity? I'm taking it, you know,
business entity.
Yeah. As a voice actor, you know,
that's a good question.
It is. I mean, when do you decide when you start booking work? You know, you don't put yourself out there until you've really established yourself. And that could be, you know, booking a couple of national spots or getting a fair amount of narration work, and you find out who you are. Don't think that you are who you are until somebody else figures out who you are, because we tend to, you know, we think we know who we are, and creating our brand, but your brand is what you get booked for. What is it that people know you for? And that's really when, you know, when you start to book consistent work in specific genres, I think that makes a big difference in who you are and when you create your logo and, you know, and do you register your logo?
The word entity is, that's the word that's like a keyword. Like that means like, that's more of a corporate thing.
Right. Exactly.
So when you go corporate, if that's what you're asking, that definitely is a question for your CPA. Or you can go to your lawyer. Yeah. Or you can go to an SBA. That's the Small Business Administration. It's run by the government and it's a free service, and you can mentor or get a mentor to help you with a lot of aspects of running your business. I'll tell you what, I'm well overdue. I've been meaning to actually have a meeting. I've been a bit lazy. Yes. You might need to drive downtown, at least in our case in Los Angeles, to downtown LA, to go see an SBA, but Someone on the staff that's doing pro bono work can help answer those levels of questions that would probably I'm not suited to answer.
Yeah, or read Rod Siglampaglia's book, Voiceover Legal.
Good point. That's a good, yeah. He definitely knows his stuff when it comes to
absolutely.
That.
You get the next one from Barbara on YouTube.
All right. Let's see. I've done a DIY demo, and I've had voice training from a company, and I still have a credit to get a professional demo from them. Should I start with a Fiverr or AMX before getting a pro demo? So she's looking for the stepping stone of where she should go next.
And
Fiverr's been a very controversial thing among the pros of voiceover.
Yeah.
Is it all bad?
Eh, it depends. You know, it depends on who you talk to. But then again, it comes down to what I always say is voiceover is a freelance entrepreneurial business.
Yes.
You're not going, you can put your demos up there and hope for the best. The way to do it right is to control your own destiny, and that is sending out the emails, making the phone calls, talking to the people who produce stuff. And how do you find them? That's what Google is for. It's a very powerful engine. You know, video producers, commercial producers.
Start local.
Right, exactly. Or call a local radio station, or find out who the advertising agencies are in your town. You know, there's all these pay-to-play sites and things that you can do to expose yourself to a lot of people. I'll be honest, it's the top people that get the work, and everybody else is just paying into this pot and making money for the people who run these sites.
Scrambling over scraps.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Yeah. There are some good sites. You know, our good friend Armin Heistetter in Germany has Bodalgo, which will expose you to a lot of work in Europe, and I've booked work from there. But you learn what it is you're good at, and you pick and choose, on those sites. It's, the pay plays are one tool in your marketing toolbox. The most powerful tool is you and getting out there and talking to the people specifically who do it.
There's one thing she said that I think is a good point. Maybe this was calculated. Mm-hmm. But she said, I've done the coaching and all this stuff, and I have a credit to get a professional demo. Should I get going in Fiverr or should I get the demo? I think you should wait to get the demo. Wait as long as you can to get the demo. I don't know what they're delayed, how long you can wait before the credit dries up or whatever, but wait till you've gotten some real experience under your belt. Even if you're not really booking much, you really need to hone your craft before you make that demo. If that demo is just based off what they've managed to coach out of you in that first 6 weeks or whatever, it's not going to be a great demo. You got to do it again.
No. You do a demo when you're ready, you know that you have the professional chops and skills to pull it off. And a good demo is produced by somebody who's a good coach and a good director. And DIY demos, unless you're just naturally talented and really get it, it can be a quick knock against you, especially if you don't really know how to record yourself, which is why George and I will both listen to your audio and determine whether, if at least it's good enough to record tracks for your own demo. But demos aren't supposed to be about production. It's about how you interpret copy and when they fire it in the first 5 seconds, they go, this person has it. They're not trying to be an announcer. They are them. And it sounds like they're not reading it, that they are actually the person that is telling you the message. And that takes time and skill and talent and practice and all those things. So talk to people who really know what they're doing when it comes to producing a demo. I can only speculate who this company is, so I'm not going to take that any further. Question from Ron M. on YouTube. Have you gotten your hands on the new Rodecaster Pro 2? Is there a Procaster 2?
Is news to me. I just found out about it. Obviously, if the only people who are going to have one of these are probably like the mega influencers that they send them out to before they hit the market. It says pre-order now, 21 days counting down. So it's definitely new. It's definitely not in too many people's hands. I I'm looking at it. I'm looking like it looks. It just looks like
looks pretty much the same.
Medically, you know,
ergonomically a little different. Yeah,
a little ergonomic improvement with the display. I see there's some color coding rings around the headphone levels, so maybe that makes it easier to keep track of which headphone knob is. So few of you guys need four mics and four headphones, right?
Right.
Like, that's the thing. It is so overkill. Even for podcasting, 90% of it is the talent is remote.
Right.
So a lot of you will never get to take advantage of what this thing can do.
Right.
You know, I used to have a connection at Rode. I don't anymore. Through my other podcast, you know, we were supported. We no longer are. So likely I may not get one in my hot little hands to demo, but,
I can see some of the little improvements that they've made that are more, you know, hardware, you know, actual
have more outputs. That's the question I have.
Doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look like it. No, I just, as it spins around, I'm waiting to see the back of it again. Where's the back of it? I can't, no, it's not, they're not going to show it to me.
Okay.
If it doesn't have more line outputs, then it's not a big improvement because that's the biggest weak spot is that it lacks line outs and line ins.
Yeah. It looks like they've created physical things on the actual physical interface to do things that were software driven or touchscreen driven.
Right.
And I that's probably the only thing, you know, is it an improvement? Depends, you know. I mean, some of them had, you know, problems. There's been hardware problems all along with it, and then they sort of fixed that. I love mine. That's what I use. And
it's a great piece. It still is. The original one is still great.
Really. Yeah. You know, really. And they upgraded. Of course, now it seems I have a feeling they're not going to upgrade the firmware in this thing anymore. They're just going to try and sell you a new Rodecaster.
Well, you know, they've been milking it for 3 years plus and getting a lot of new features out of it. So we'll see what happens next. But Ron, none of us have it yet. So, well, stay tuned.
Yeah. Jim McNicholas asks, George, you're sounding great on that 818. I would agree. You do sound good. You almost sound as good as me.
Thanks.
You've been only listening to me for 11 years. I'm hoping some of it
every
rubs
review
off.
Of microphones with Dan's voice, they always comment on Dan's voice. You'll never hear anybody comment on my voice.
Let's see here. I'd love the 818 to set to the figure 8 for my voice. Well, it all depends on the acoustical nature of the room you're in. And
The acoustics is a big part of it. This mic, the tonal characteristics of the mic does not change much from pattern to pattern. So really does then, it just really controls the way the proximity effect is. So like when I put it on figure 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it gets a little more warm and like
a little more present.
It sounds like I got closer to the mic, right?
It does.
And when I go back to, let's just go to cardioid. I'm in the same exact spot. But it doesn't have that.
Just a little bit thinner.
A little thinner, and there's a little bit more. You can hear a little bit of more of the room around me. Right?
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it depends on your situation. But figure 8 is still one of my favorite secret weapons for dealing with not so great small voiceover booth problems. So glad you like it.
Yeah. Question from Jeff Burns. He'd be curious to know what we think of the new UT Twin 87 mic that can apparently switch between vintage and modern 87 sounds. And your point?
UT Twin 87.
Boy, George is so quick on that Google. Yeah.
Well, you guys are pulling out a lot of new stuff. I mean,
well, while you're looking that up, I will say what I usually say is there's no microphone that's going to change the way you read copy or perform it. So, you know, it's... Nobody cares, you know? I mean, as long as you have a good mic that's over $150 to about $200, it's the mic you have, and it's if your environment is correct, you're going to sound great. Now, is it cool? If you're an audio geek, yeah, they're fun to play with.
Cool.
You know?
Mics are cool. This one is called the Twin 87 because it has clearly two different signal paths built in. So if you can't decide which version of a U87 you want, a vintage one or a new AI modern one, this was is supposedly two in one.
Right. So is it a matter of are you doing something modern or are you doing
the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
So, you know, I mean I've been wanting to use that one for a while.
As soon as you flick it to vintage, it sounds like that.
It sounds like exactly.
Trust me, folks, the difference is pretty subtle. Like, you're not going to go, whoa, it sounds so vintage when you flick it to vintage. No, it's not going to be a very, very dramatic difference.
Right.
Unless you are a recording engineer who's using a lot of different microphones and listens to subtleties and different shades of mauve, you're not going to notice the difference.
Exactly. And especially, you know, I mean, no, most engineers can't tell the difference. And why would, and vintage and the modern, it has so much more to do with producing music. And now, going to do some subtle things with, you know, with what, where you are at now. And, you know, for voiceover, I don't see it, you know, but it's cool.
It is cool.
You get the last question from Mr. Holman.
Yeah, I'm actually answering that one offline. But the one I want to answer, the one right above it, maybe, did we miss it on purpose? I'm not sure. But Matthew King says, I've been wanting to invest in getting a laptop in order to start up my VO path, but I was wondering which one would be ideal starting out. Also, any opinions on the AT2020? I've heard good things.
Well, I haven't.
The AT2020, comparing it to $30 mics, it's a great mic.
Yeah.
Comparing it to $150 mics, it's not a great mic.
No,
so
it's not.
I would pick this mic over that one any day. This is a 2035, and it's only a little bit more money, and it's superior in every way.
Yeah. You can find a used one. George and I both have used ones. So
yeah, this is a 3035. The modern successor is the 2035. It's the same mic, and they sound amazing. That's the way to go. Skip the 2020 completely.
And for a laptop, get a Mac.
Yep. Yeah, you didn't say Mac, so obviously you're not an Apple person, but get a MacBook Air, get one, even if it's used, get one. Just swallow take the red pill or whatever they say, whatever the dumb, just try it
out. Take a bite of the apple.
Go to the alternate universe and try it. We're big fans for a lot of reasons. I have a blog post about it. I've talked about it on podcasts about why I'm an Apple fan for voiceover studio users. Definitely consider the Apple way of doing things because the computers are designed for media creation. No audio driver conflicts, no audio driver confusion. And now basically dead silent. Well, the MacBook M1s are dead silent. They're the MacBook Air, ironically, the Air has no fan. So don't get it confused. Right. MacBook Air has no fan.
Right.
That's the way to go.
Yeah. You know, you plug it in and it works.
It is.
Yeah,
it
not a does. Whole lot of configuring. Well, believe it or not, another hour has gone by and we have answered all of the questions and solved all the mysteries of voiceover recording in your home studio. But or at least we've tried. We still got a little bit to talk about and we'll be right back after these messages. So don't go away.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
Hey there, I'm David H. Lawrence, the 17th, and with my company, VO Heroes, and my team of coaches, and my community of voiceover talent, we guide voiceover actors along their journey. And you may be watching VOBS here and not nearly as far along as many of the other people who are watching. You may not even have started yet. And we actually specialize in helping you do just that. So if you're watching all the stuff going on here on VOBS and going, I have no idea what they're talking about. I don't know, but I really want to do this. I'd really like to help you. Please go to voheroes.com/start. That's voheroes.com/start. And you can take our Getting Started in VoiceOver class, which tells you everything you need to get started as a voice talent. And I'd love to hold your hand along the way and help you with that journey. Again, voheroes.com/start. That's voheroes.com/start.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources, like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. Voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
And we're back.
That distinctive voice.
Yeah. Got to get John back, Bailey back on the show one of these days. Fun guy to hang out with. Well, first off, next week on this very show, our dear friend, the Thunder from Down Under, even though he's farther north up in Victoria, British Columbia, Matt Colerick will be joining us.
Hey,
Matt's
cool.
A super duper guy. Yeah. And we'll talk about some interesting stuff.
One of the few voice talent I know that hires an engineer.
No.
Like literally in house.
Somebody comes to his log cabin out there on Victoria Island and
I haven't talked to him, I don't think, since the pandemic, but that was the situation last we spoke. So
cool.
I'm curious to find out what he's doing these days.
Well, ask him about that. Our donors of this week. We can start off with Robert Leadham.
Stephen Chandler.
Casey Clack.
Jonathan Grant.
Thomas Pinto.
Shelly. I just want to put her first and last name. Shelly Avellino.
Patty Givens.
Rob Ryder.
Greg Thomas.
A Dr. Voice.
Antland Productions. I wore my Antland Productions t-shirt in front of the Arc de Triomphe.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And Martha Kahn.
My dear Kahn. Hey, you need help with your home voiceover studio? You can go over to my place, which is homevoiceoverstudio.com, see all that I do. And George?
Over at georgethe.tech and use that 20% off coupon code VOBSFAN2022.
Alrighty.
Don't be crazy. Gotta use that coupon.
All right. You lead off with thanking our sponsors.
All right. How about Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials?
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And JMC Demos. Thanks, JMC. Thank you to Jeff Holman, kicking butt tonight in the chat rooms and getting those questions to us. Our fantastic technical director, Sue Merlino, getting it done as she usually does. And Lee Pinney, who was actually tuned in tonight for just being Lee Pinney. Anyway, you know, this is not an easy business. Making sure that your audio is sounding right is really important. But the bottom line is, if it sounds good,
it is good.
I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk.
We'll see you next week with Matt Colerick. Have a good one, everybody.